From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I am Jake Skorheim, your host. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Download the podcast if you haven't got a chance yet. Check it out there. We post a lot of great stuff there. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. We also got a lot of great stuff on MyNorthWest.com. That's just a great website. You can get all the information that you need there on everything you need to know. So check it out, MyNorthWest.com. We also have a bunch of social media stuff. I'm not going to keep promoting things. Let me just tell you, there's a lot of great stuff. All right, I got to cover this story really fast. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but it's fascinating and it's funny. And you just don't have too many stories that pop up like this. And so we want to highlight it. There is a zebra missing in North Bend. So if you are in a North Bend and you hear this noise in the woods, you're probably used to hearing squirrels. Maybe even occasionally you look out your window and you might see a deer blending in with the background. If you see something that's black and white striped, then you're probably looking at a zebra, especially if it sounds like this. All right, here's so the other update to the story, which is kind of funny. Basically, what happened was you had four zebras that were traveling via trailer back to Montana. They were heading back to their owner in Montana, so they're driving through the east side, heading east, and the driver of the truck that was pulling these zebras pulls over to fix something on the trailer, to get access to something on the trailer. When he's making that adjustment, the zebras break out, and they run away. They caught three of them, one still missing. The scary update to this one is that they have now spotted a cougar in the area where the zebra is suspected to be hiding. A North Bend resident named Joe caught this footage on a trail cam, talked to Cairo News Radio and said, I have no idea if a cougar would go after a zebra or not, but they definitely go after deer. Another person who spoke to Cairo News Radio said, I've seen a cougar on the trail. I've seen bears. I've seen everything out here. There have been cougar sightings, but they are pretty rare. Another North Bend resident said, it's not looking good for the zebra. I mean, zebras are herd animals, and this is not a natural environment. I hope it does turn up, if nothing else, for the sake of the zebra. Obviously, we don't want the zebra to get eaten. But that's nature. That's what happens in nature. When I was a kid, my parents still live on the property where I grew up, and I spent all my time playing out in the woods. And when you're out in the woods, every once in a while, you do get this sense that something might be looking at you. And it's a really creepy, like anybody who spends any time in the woods, you know the feeling I'm talking about. We have this instinct that just, I think it's, you know, this very old instinct deeply ingrained in us that we know when we're being hunted or we know when someone's looking at us. You know what I mean? Like when you're like sitting in traffic. Basically, the only way it plays out these days is when you're sitting in traffic and when you see somebody kind of like looking at you from the next lane over. But in the old days, when we used to hunt all the time, we used to have to go out and like get our, you know, go kill our food and bring it back to the cave. We have all these instincts that are just like deeply ingrained in us. One of those instincts is to know when you are being watched. So when I was a kid, sometimes you just be out in the woods, you get this sense. So one day, my parents, at my parents' house in this property I grew up at, this ranger truck drives up. And this ranger, it's like a Yellowstone ranger. We didn't grow up on Yellowstone, but I didn't realize they had rangers out in Snohomish County, but they do. So he drives up, this animal control ranger guy, and he walks up to my parents. He says, hey, just want to let you guys know, there is a cougar that has been spotted in the woods. Now, my parents, obviously, we hadn't seen a cougar around there before. And so we were kind of freaked out. And we were like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like a good idea.
How about new?
Because cougars are big and they're scary and easily could snap up a kid. Like, no problem. They could, like, pounce on a kid, take a kid. You'd never see that kid again. Cougars get pretty big. They grow typically. An adult cougar is anywhere between 170 and 220 pounds. They move like a cat, but big and giant. And so pretty scary. So for the zebra out there, I would say that his time is limited. He or she's time is limited if they don't find that zebra soon. So if you are out there in North Bend and you see a zebra, then you should call the King County Animal Authority because they would love to come and get that zebra from you. All right, let's see here. I'm sorry, King County Animal Control. That's who's looking for the zebra. All right, let's get to this other story. This was really interesting, and I thought this was a fascinating story. Dave Ross has this article on MyNorthWest.com. You guys can read about it there. He says, we built it, and they had better come. This is Dave Ross's story. And then I'm going to comment on this in a second because I have an idea about this. He says, according to the Seattle Times, 17,500 people showed up for the opening of the East Side Light Rail line. That's only about 12% of the people who saw Taylor Swift in Seattle. But for the opening of a rail line that only goes 6 miles, it's not too bad. It shows that people are at least curious about how it feels to get to Redmond without driving there. But I can't help but notice that relatively few people currently live within walking distance of those East Side Light Rail stations. The South Bellevue station is basically in a swamp. And for the system to be worth all the money we've spent, that will have to change. There will have to be a massive development around those stations, whether the salmon like it or not. That's where the future growth has to happen. Large residential high-rises and the businesses and the parks to support them. Here's the other thing about trains. Now, that was from Dave's article, and you can read that whole article. It's really great. Dave writes some great stuff. You can check that out at mynorthwest.com. Here's the thing about trains. They're kind of being shoved down our throats. Like, that's how I feel about them. I understand the value of a train. I understand the value of a light rail. I have used the BART system in San Francisco to great effect, because traffic in San Francisco is nearly impossible. Like, to find a parking spot in San Francisco, not going to happen. So to take BART down to one of those stations, you want to go down to the pier or Embarcadero or wherever, it's really easy to get down there. Pretty great. And I know that that's what they're hoping the light rail eventually becomes, but that will take some time. BART's been around for a long time, so that will just take some time. But the other thing that you have to think about is people on the East Side. Dave references how a lot of people showed up to the opening of the East Side light rail, but how many people are actually riding this thing daily right now? Not a lot, according to Nate Connors, traffic guru Nate Connors, who I was talking about this with just before I got on the air tonight. And I said, hey, Nate, have you done any follow-ups to that light rail? Because he was there for the opening. Have you done any follow-ups to see how many people are actually riding it? And he goes, well, basically right now, not a ton of people are riding the light rail because a couple of reasons. It's new. Two, it doesn't really go anywhere. I mean, it goes between Bellevue and Redmond. That's about 6 miles. So if you want to take it, it's kind of a novelty right now. So like, there's no real point unless you're commuting from Bellevue to Redmond and you want to try the train out. That's a possibility. They've invested a ton of money in this. They've invested a lot of money. In fact, when this whole system is done, when this whole East Side light rail connection is done, according to Nate, it's about $4 billion they've invested in this. Will that be worth the investment? Hopefully someday. Hopefully people will actually take it. The point of the light rail is to get people out of their cars and lessen the traffic in our area. We just don't have much more room to grow on our roads, on our freeways, on our on I-5, on 405. There's just nowhere else for those roads to go. They can't expand them. So unless they're going to build double-decker roads, which is kind of a cool idea, unless they're going to be able to figure out how to expand those roads, which they're not, then people are going to have to start taking trains or flying cars. Maybe flying cars will kick in at some point. But will people take the trains? That's the great question. Will they actually ride them? I would hazard a guess that it's going to take a while for people to adopt the trains. And on the East Side, specifically, people who live on the East Side, they're very different than people in Seattle. People in Seattle, I don't live in Seattle, so I can only speak to Seattle of the past. When I used to live in Seattle, I thought it was really cool to go into downtown and do the cool Seattle stuff. But now that I'm older, and now that I am wiser, and now that I have kids, I don't have an interest in doing those same things. And so I like being on the East Side. If I'm going to go out and enjoy the city, I like being on the East Side. Just the same, when I'm on the East Side, am I going to want to jump on a train to get around? No, probably not, because I like the comfort of my car. I like being able to pull up to where I want to get to instantly. I don't want to wait for a train. I don't want to sit there with other people who are waiting for trains, and I want to make sure that I have a pleasant experience which I can control inside my car. And so that's why I'm thinking that maybe it's not going to be this huge grand success on the East Side. Like, maybe it will be in Seattle. Like, I bet you it takes off in Seattle way faster than on the East Side. Because people on the East Side, have you seen the cars they're driving? Would you want to get out of a Lamborghini to sit on a train with somebody who just got sick because they drank too much at the local bar? No, of course not. You want to ride around your Lamborghini or your Tesla or your Mercedes or whatever they're driving on the East Side these days. You want to sit on a train? No, of course not. You don't. That's just a fact. But it'll eventually take off. If people have to use it, then they will. You can't force people to use trains, obviously. But if it becomes the best mode of travel, to get people where they want to go without them having to worry about seeing drunk people vomiting everywhere, or people who are passed out on drugs, then I do think the people will adopt the trains. And on the east side, they're going to try to protect you from that. The Bellevue Police Department has a whole new unit called the Bellevue Police Light Rail Unit. The city's council of Bellevue has given them money. They now are hiring new police officers specifically just to ride these trains on the light rail, these light rail trains, to make sure that they have the ridership in Bellevue have a pleasant riding experience. And they don't have to, see all the nasty things that they see in Seattle. If you do illegal stuff on the east side, they're going to take you off the trains, which I think is great. In Seattle, they're not doing that too much. And so, I think the ridership in on the east side is going to have a much more pleasant riding experience, but I don't think they are going to adopt the trains as quickly. I think the ridership in Seattle are going to ride the trains more, but they're going to have a worse experience. So it's kind of this weird conundrum that you're facing there. All right, let's see here. Let's move on here. Let's talk about protesters on college campuses. You guys will like protesters? No, neither do I. But at locally here, like semi-locally, I guess, at Portland State University, protesters have occupied and vandalized and now shut down the campus. So what happened? Originally, there's a bunch of protesters who started an encampment on the Portland State University campus. Over the weekend, the school asked them to leave. There's a story down in Portland after a pro-Palestinian protest sprouted at Portland State University last week, joining scores of universities across the country. School officials on Monday asked protesters to leave. A few dozen people had barricaded the front steps of Portland State University's Branford Price Miller Library, stretching orange construction fencing, tarps, signs, wires, and empty gallon water cans to block the entrance. That's no fun. The school then put out the statement, since the weekend, the encampment has grown and has resulted in greater property damage and intimidation, wrote school spokesperson. Given growing health and safety risks to our campus community and interference with university operations, PSU is asking the protesters to vacate the library portico. Seems like a pretty reasonable request. Please stop blocking the library. Please stop making it uncomfortable for everybody to be here on campus. So how did the protesters respond? Well, they didn't respond great. In fact, they vandalized the library. And so now the PSU campus, according to their X account, they put out this statement. They said, PSU campus is closed Tuesday 4:30 due to ongoing incidents at the library. Please check your local PDX email or other registered models for updates and guidance. So here we have another college that has been shut down by protesters, which is not great, and it doesn't actually help your cause any. How are they handling this in Florida, you might be asking, obviously? Well, Governor Ron DeSantis was asked about this by a reporter who says, hey, do you support free speech and protests on campus? Well, Governor DeSantis said, yes, of course we support protesters and free speech. You can think whatever you want on a campus, but where we draw the line is when you start breaking the law. When you start breaking the law, something else happens.
That's not what we've done in Florida at all. You have a right to support or not support Israel. That's the First Amendment. You don't have a right to pitch a tent in the middle of campus and commandeer some of the property. And so what we've seen is when students, and there haven't been that many in Florida. I mean, it's a much smaller compared to these others. But when you go and you're bringing a tent or something on like a campus lawn, you know what they did at Florida State and University of Florida? They turned the sprinklers on and said, okay, so that's just how it's going to be. But it's about conduct, and it's about making sure you're doing the code of conduct. So you can say whatever you want about Israel, pro or con. What you don't have a right to do is commandeer property. You don't have a right to harass individual students or faculty members. You know, in Columbia, they were blocking a Jewish professor from being able to cross into a building just because he was Jewish. They were targeting for that. That's different than having an opinion on something. And so, no, what we're doing is absolutely right. I think the University of Florida put out a statement yesterday saying, you know, people can have the views that they want, but the University of Florida is not a daycare center.
Absolutely. And that's how it should be. Like on all college campuses around the country, have your opinions. But when you start obstructing other people's ability to go to school, people who are paying a lot of money for these colleges, when they start stepping in and blocking people's access to libraries, targeting people because they're Jewish, then yeah, they got to go. You got to arrest those people and you got to get them off your campus as quick as possible. Listen to this person. She's a PhD student. This is on Columbia University. There's a PhD student. Her name is Johanna King Slutsky. She is a PhD student, and her focus in her studies is theories of the imagination and poetry as interpreted through a Marxian lens, which is what you, exactly what you would expect from a PhD student at Columbia. She was speaking in front of the press. I don't know why they put her in front of a microphone, but they did. She was speaking to the press, and she was asking them to make sure that the protesters are given food and water, because that's a human right.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request to water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill?
I'm going to pause it right there real fast. Nobody's stopping these kids from eating, right? Like, they can still eat. I mean, nobody's like saying, oh, no food for you. You cannot eat. No water, no nutrition, no sustenance of any kind. If they feed themselves, then they should be fine.
Even if they disagree with you, if the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries. We want to take over this building. Now, would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking.
Wasn't she just asking them, like, can we please have some water? So they are asking them to bring something.
Asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
I love that. We want them to stop us from, please don't stop us from getting food. Then the reporter says, well, have they stopped you? And she goes, well, no, they haven't stopped us, but we want a commitment that they won't do the thing that they're currently not doing. Well, is there any evidence that they're doing this? Well, no, but again, we want a commitment that they will not stop us from getting Grubhub, I guess. Ridiculous. These protests, these have gotten out of hand. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Next, we are going to talk with the council. A slight has happened on the internet. Two famous people have gotten into a little bit of a confusion on Instagram. One of these two people involved, I don't even know if they realize that they have committed this slight or if they know how to use Instagram. It might be an age thing. We're going to talk about it, so stick around. Right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorha.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know, we've been having a lot of fun with these council sessions, and I feel like we just need to keep this thing going. We have a really good topic tonight, so let's get into it on the council.
Tales unfold, secrets are unveiled, and the echoes of ancient wisdom resonate. Collectively, they may just stumble upon the correct solution. Welcome to the Council.
Yes, and of course, joining me for the Council tonight, I have Nate the Great Connors,
hello.
Joe Wallace from the John and Sherry Show. Welcome, guys.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, we need to get to the bottom of a very serious topic. Mm. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was some, I don't know if this was a miscommunication, if this was an intended slight. It's a little gossipy, but it feels like the kind of time of night we can talk about something like this. Do you guys know who Melissa McCarthy is?
Sure.
Mm. All right. Are you aware of this story, Joe?
Yes, this is the...
Don't spoil it.
Okay.
Don't spoil
Jenny McCarthy's cousin.
She is Jenny McCarthy's cousin.
Is that
isn't
true?
Isn't that bizarre?
True. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yes, Jenny McCarthy's cousin. All right, so same last name. You should have figured it out.
I mean, duh.
God. Idiot.
All right, so Melissa McCarthy apparently posted on social media a nice picture. She's wearing a cute mint green dress, walking around with a friend of hers, a guy named Adam Shankman. This was, I believe, just 2 days ago this happened. And she captioned the post on social media. I think this might have been on Instagram. She said, pastels only to honor the incredible... gala last night with this fella. This much closer to my dream of dancing on stage. Now, I don't know who Adam Shankman is. Do you guys know who Adam Shankman is?
No idea.
Okay. You obviously know who Melissa McCarthy is.
Is he the guitarist in The Scorpions?
Those are two. That's a reference I also don't know. Is that possible?
Shankman. Unbelievable, Nate. Come on.
Please, Nate. Momentum killer.
Jeez.
All right. Melissa McCarthy.
Look it up.
Melissa McCarthy from Bridesmaids. You guys heard that? Heard of that?
Oh, movie? Yeah. Great movie.
Lillian. I don't know what to say. You look lost. Megan, are you okay? Oh.
I think my dress was probably just tight.
Oh, my God. You got food poisoning from that restaurant, didn't you?
No, I had the same thing that she had, and I hope you're fine.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, no.
Why is this happening? This is happening.
You know, I don't really care which dress we get. It doesn't matter to me. I just need to get off this white carpet.
No, okay. No, not the bathroom. Everybody, go outside. I'm serious. There's a bathroom across the street.
Is
this
it? No, Megan. So no. Good. No.
Look away. Megan, no. Look away.
Melissa McCarthy was like, in that movie, I don't know if you could find another example of somebody who had been, she was a successful like side act, like fifth person on the call sheet actress. Right. She was on Gilmore Girls Forever. I'm sure she was making enough money to have her own house, which in Hollywood is like an actual like amazing accomplishment, just to be working enough that you can actually afford to keep doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
So she was doing fine, but then this movie comes out, then Bridesmaids comes out, and it's like this epiphany. Yeah. Everyone goes, oh my gosh, she has this whole other thing that she does that she's super funny at.
I had no idea who she was until Bridesmaid. I didn't watch Gilmore Girls or anything.
Well, yeah,
so
why
just,
would you?
Yeah,
and I only knew about it because of my wife,
right,
who loved Gilmore Girls, and so I knew her through that. She was Suki on Gilmore Girls. But on Gilmore Girls, she's like, she's kind of funny. She's like a quirky side character.
Yeah.
And then in Bridesmaids, you're like, oh, she might be one of the funniest people on earth. So anyway, that's Melissa McCarthy. So Barbara Streisand, on her comments section of her Instagram page, Joe already knows the story, but Nate, I can see my confusion on your face. You're looking more confused than normal.
Thank you.
Barbara Streisand, here's what she said. And I thought this was people online. I don't want to like say what people online think. I'll let them speak for themselves. There are people online who are saying this was very rude of Barbara Streisand, and was this an intentional dig? Was it just Barbara Streisand not understanding how the internet works? And so Barbara Streisand commented on this. She said, give Shankman, again, we don't know who this person is, give Shankman my regards, comma, did you take Ozempic? Because Melissa McCarthy, she's looking pretty svelte in her outfit. And, Melissa McCarthy is somebody who maybe has had weight issues at times.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so Barbara Streisand says, did you take Ozempic? And then people online were saying, one person said, bless her. She thought she was in the DMs. Another person said it was rude and it was nasty thing to say. Do you guys think it was rude of her to ask if she was on Ozempic?
It sure is hard to tell someone's intention just from a quote, reading a quote. But my gut feeling says she was legit. Looking good. Are you on Ozempic?
Yeah, but
that's how I felt.
Joe, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you probably, maybe in private, would ask that, but I don't know that it's like, oh, look, you've lost a bunch of weight. You know, it's just not something. It's there's a way to compliment somebody without saying, especially if someone has lost weight, you don't want to just assume that they're taking a shot for it or whatever. Maybe they work really hard, you know?
Yeah, the way that I read it, like, one, I figured she's just old, so she doesn't know what she was doing. I didn't like think she was trying to be mean. Maybe Streisand and McCarthy are dear friends. I don't know. But the implication with Ozempic is kind of, at least in my head, was kind of like, all right, this person took a kind of a shortcut to losing weight quickly, and they're taking this thing that everybody seems to be taking.
Right.
And so, it did kind of suggest, I don't know.
See, that's why I felt it was legit. That because everyone is taking it now.
Which is true. Yeah,
that's
might have a point.
Yeah.
And because Barbara Streisand is more mature, maybe she just doesn't, maybe it's just like a conversational etiquette thing that she's just...
Well, she comes from a different time.
Sure.
Barbara Streisand.
Right.
She's not young. In fact, here's a song of hers.
Can you hear me?
Oh, my jam.
Yeah. Can you see me?
You like this song?
I don't know.
Yentl. Do you like Yentl?
I don't. I haven't seen Yentl.
You should try it.
Okay.
Yeah, you should try it.
No, it's not as funny as Bridesmaids.
Okay.
No, it's not.
But you should check it out. But yeah, no, so I looked this up because I was like, man, how old is Barbara Streisand?
Yeah.
She probably just doesn't know. It's like,
let me take a guess.
Take a guess.
She's got to be, I'm feeling she's 72.
Okay, Joe, what do you think? Barbara Streisand.
82.
She's 82.
She is?
Nice.
Yeah, right on the money.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's an old lady. She's older than President Joe Biden, and he's like the oldest man in America. She's a very, very old lady.
Right.
So then I was starting to think, like, it's when I found out that she was 82,
mm-hmm.
instantly I went, oh, she just doesn't know the internet.
Right.
She just doesn't know how it works. She probably, yeah. I'm surprised she was on Instagram.
Yeah, no, and making, you know, managing her own Instagram, where you could make...
Clearly,
know.
This is not an assistant.
Right.
All assistants are 27 years old.
Exactly.
They know how to do these. They would be like, oh, Barbara, you want to, like... Or
yeah,
probably,
yeah.
She probably makes her call Miss Streisand. Miss Streisand.
Babs.
Babs. No,
I'm sure.
No, Babs, too. Yeah. No, that's too informal. They would say, Miss Streisand, you want to put these in DMs? And she would go, what's a DM?
Yeah.
She would have to explain. It'd be a really long process.
So,
does Melissa McCarthy have an Ozempic face? I mean, does she? Is she showing
not
signs?
Not like no. Super sucked up, okay. Like some, right. You know.
Like Ozempic face almost looks like somebody's. I mean, Ozempic sometimes it makes it look like somebody just melted the fat off.
Right.
And I mean, it's, you know, they lose all that, you know, that
the muscle.
There's like pleasant fat that people can have in their face. It gives it a nice rounded, you know.
Yeah, people who, especially people that maybe aren't like obese, but they're just like maybe a little overweight, and then they take Ozempic and they become like gaunt and like hollow. Yeah.
Yes.
It just looked like it's just drastic. But she doesn't fall into that category from what I can see. In fact, there's, I don't know.
I didn't even think, I would never, when I saw the picture, I wouldn't have thought that she was somebody taking Ozempic.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And not that she's not skinny. I'm just saying that, like, there's a look of people who take it who do kind of have that gaunt.
That's what I was getting at,
hollow look. You're right.
And it tends to be drastic. So they lose a lot of weight in a short period of time. So you see them, you know, a month ago, and then you see them now, and you're like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
So that's, she doesn't fall into that category.
Okay. No. I think it's just Barbara Streisand being old.
Yeah.
Not getting it.
Me too.
And she probably thought, like, no harm. What a clever reference.
No harm.
I didn't read deep into any of these stories, but
we never do.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
I did see, though, that she deleted the comment. So somebody got to her and said, hey, this is, you know, something, this is getting too much attention.
Yeah.
And I did, correct me if I'm wrong, but was there some connection to the guy, like Barbara Streisand?
She said she knew him.
Okay.
She said, yeah, send my regards to Shane. She referred to him by his last name.
And send my regards is a weird thing to say, too, right?
Because, give my regards to Shane. Like, give Shankman my regards. Kind of implies.
Or am I just like, have I watched Game of Thrones too many times where you say that, you're like mean, like, oh, you know, I just had you assassinated, so, you know, send my regards to the Lannisters, that kind of thing.
You know, I actually thought it was like another, I thought it was another generational thing.
Okay,
send
maybe,
my regards,
yeah.
Somebody would say that if they're very old.
Right.
She is.
Okay.
So it sounds like we don't think this was a slight.
I don't think it malicious on Barbara's part. Nah.
Not at all. Nah, I don't think so.
I think it's just a case of somebody who's 82, doesn't understand how the internet works. Like my father-in-law, the other day, I don't know why he did this.
You're going to throw him under the bus.
I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I'm just going to say like something that he did. He's in his 80s.
I
don't know how, but he, you know, because he's in his 80s, he's sometimes on Facebook, like most people on Facebook.
Right.
And he took a video of, he was just looking at his phone, but at the same time was taking a video of his feet and then posted that video, to, like a 30-second shot of his, like he's on an easy chair, just of his feet, and then he posted it to Facebook.
Yeah. Now he's on footfetish.com or something.
Well, now probably he's getting a lot of like friend requests from people who are trying to offer him money. But like, and then my wife was like, Dad, you know what you did? And he goes, what are you talking about? I don't even know I'm on Facebook.
He didn't.
I was like, how is it possible that you can not only take a video that you don't even know you're taking, but also load it to Facebook? I thought there was a bunch of steps.
There are surprisingly few steps. So it's easy to see. I mean, John Curley does this kind of stuff all the time with just like voice to text, and he accidentally like fires off an email and just, you know, nothing. Yeah. So not out of the question that Barbara just kind of, she just didn't know what she was doing.
She just didn't know what she was doing. Poor Babs.
Poor Babs.
I know, Babs.
All right. I feel like the council's gotten to the bottom of this, guys.
Well, hang on. We're not done yet.
This
just in, it's actually Shanker. Shanker is the guitarist for Scorpions. My bad.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, nice.
Lord.
My bad.
Yeah.
I didn't see you Google anything.
Hang on. No,
just in my head.
Just
man.
Came to you.
His brain.
All right.
No, let's get that big, beautiful brain. All right. That's Joe Wallace, Nate the Great Connors. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We got a lot more. So stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, it's the final segment of the night. I always like to save the best for last. It's kind of the dessert to this fine meal that we lay out for you every single night. All right, on Bill Maher's show. He has a side podcast that he does. It's called, what is this called here? It's called Club Random. He talks to super famous people. They just like sit down and they ask good questions and he talks to them. I thought this exchange was really interesting. He's talking to Dana White, UFC boss. He's a billionaire. Bill Maher was asking him about his political views and how they may have evolved over his lifetime. This is pretty interesting.
I keep trying to tell the left this every week. Like, the more you do crazy, the more you push the people in the middle to the right.
So true.
And what were your politics when you were 20?
I considered myself very liberal when I was younger.
See, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, I was very liberal when I was younger.
And do you think it's more that you changed or more that the country changed and the parties changed?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. I'm for common sense. I'm all about common sense. Let's knock all the bullshit off. At the end of the day, you know what Americans want? Americans want to have a good job that they like to go to every day. They want to make a good, want to make good money. They want to take care of their family. They want to raise their family. They want to have a house. It's all the simple. It's all the things that the American dream is supposed to provide. That's what everybody wants.
And watch people fight.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God, Bill.
He's talking about UFC. And he's not wrong there. I mean, like, common sense. I want common sense. I wouldn't say that I'm super far right or super far left. What I am is a person who likes common sense. So when I recognize that in a political leader, that's what I like. I like common sense. They also talked about how in America, I really like this cut, actually. In America, you can be whatever you want. I still believe that.
Well, entertainment.
100%.
I mean, like, I judge almost everything by just how much did it entertain me. It's like, I don't need art to teach me a lesson. If it does, okay. But, I'm 68. I probably learned most of them or ignored most of them. But whatever it is, to entertain me. And if you entertain me and teach me something, even better. But first, entertain me. So I always tip my hat to entertain me, even when it's not something that I particularly understand. It's like, you got to give it up for success. In America, that means a lot because, we have a lot of shitty things about us, but the one thing we still have is anybody can reinvent themselves here,
I agree.
Anyone can decide, tomorrow I'm going to be this different person and do this different thing, and I do have a shot. There's nothing really holding me back.
I couldn't agree with you more.
To get to wherever, and it's not likely for most people, but it is possible. That's why they're always asking, like, why don't the poor people revolt? Because they think they could be the non-poor people.
Yep. And they can.
And they can.
And they can. I agree with that completely. I mean, that's a great part about this country. That's one of the best parts. We are so blessed to live in a country where if you really want to set your mind to something, you can go out and accomplish it. It doesn't mean there's not going to be barriers that you have to get past, but you can still do it. Nobody's going to stop you from attempting to do this. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. I have a blast doing the show with you guys every night. Thank you, Matt, for producing the show. Great job. I hope you all have a wonderful night. Come back. We got a great show coming up tomorrow. But right now, it's getting late. I got to get to bed. Night-night.